Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Dave Buhner, also in studio with me as we update you on a couple of important issues that are happening around the United States. Freedom, family, faith-wise. We're constantly monitoring the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of the Western world, as we are slowly but surely abandoning the Christian faith as the major faith that undergirds the way that we do our social systems and our culture. Well, of course, in the midst of the breakdown of the Christian culture, the humanism itself is rotting out the foundations, and it's not as if they're going to do what it takes for a civilization to survive. No way. But nevertheless, we are doing the best we can to throw a few sandbags on the island of freedom and do what we can to defend God's people, and it's happening. But from time to time, we lose a little ground. And Dave, the HSLDA organization that was fighting for this Romeike family from Germany, a little asylum for them in the state of Tennessee, they lost the case at the level of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, according to this article that just came out of Christian Post this morning. Not a big surprise from my perspective. We'll see how they do at the Supreme Court. My guess is they're going to appeal this. Yes, they are going to appeal it. A U.S. appeals court sided with the U.S. Justice Department on Tuesday and denied asylum for the Romeikes. They fled from Germany after they were threatened with the possibility of losing custody of their children when they decided to homeschool and refused to send their children to the German public schools. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals agreed with the Justice Department, Romeike versus Holder, that the freedom to homeschool one's children is not among the fundamental rights protected for asylum seekers. Concerning, Dave, for the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, I'm sure, and for the rest of us homeschoolers, if homeschooling is not a fundamental right, then we could have troubles ourselves in the years to come. And no surprise that Eric Holder and the Barack Obama administration took a position against family freedoms in this country. But we'll see what happens at the Supreme Court level.
Well, I actually am a little surprised. I was surprised at the beginning because this is petty. This is even beneath the pettiness that we've seen of this administration in so many other areas. The Romeike family had been granted asylum. Let's remember this. They had been granted asylum by an immigration court. In other words, they were here legally. They obeyed all the rules. They were not taking tax money. They were not on the government dole. They were just minding their own little business in Tennessee. And then the Eric Holder administration, Eric Holder, who was the Department of Justice Attorney General, and the Obama administration had to take a little shot, a little petty shot, in order to try and weaken the rights of homeschoolers, not just in Germany, but this really weakens the rights of homeschoolers in the United States because it sets a precedent that raising your children according to your faith is not a fundamental right.
Dave, if anything, it's a symbolic case, a petty case, yes, but symbolic and important, I think, for the Barack Obama administration that has taken a position against freedom at every single level. I don't think he's ever defended any freedom that was meaningful to any God-fearing, innocent citizens in the United States. He's done everything he can to increase government purview over every aspect of life. He's working very, very hard to make sure that government controls medical decisions in the year 2020, 2025 for every single family in America. With maybe the exception of those who are plugged into the Christian Medical Sharing Ministries. But beyond that, Dave, I think he's looking at trying to control families, and he certainly does not want the freedom to homeschool for German families. And I don't think he's ever said anything positive about the freedom to homeschool in America or the homeschooling movement itself. As far as I can remember, I don't think he's ever stood for homeschooling freedoms and the right for families to homeschool in the States, in all of his career. I think he's all about killing babies. He's all about sodomy. He's all about anything that could be perceived as unrighteous or wicked, at least as defined by the word of God and the law of God. So no surprise, as far as I'm concerned, that they took that position or that the administration takes that position. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, my understanding, is not exactly the most conservative, but not the most liberal either. It's not the Ninth Circus either.
Right. It's not the Ninth Circuit. I think we can say this. There's been a pattern in this administration and in the president's career. He has so far advanced all of the planks of communism as were listed in the 1963 Congressional Record, when the Communist Party actually just told the nation what they were going to do. He seems to be advancing all of them, including control of the children, control of the population through control of their health care. He has shown that he has a proclivity to try and punish those who would oppose him. And let's face it, homeschoolers, by and large, believe in things like liberty, mm-hmm. and not in things like government control. They don't believe in tyranny. They believe in God for a large segment of them. People, the Mikeys, are here because they want to worship God by teaching their children God's law. Well, that's not really what this administration has been about. They're actually about a different law, a law that doesn't come from God.
David, attacks on freedom-loving people all over the place. The Internal Revenue Service, of course, have launched a number of attacks on the Tea Partyites. And recently, Dave, a couple of the articles said that they're even doing what they can to get their list of donors. And the IRS has, I think, launched an attack on anybody who loves freedom in this country, because the goal is total despotism in America. The goal is total tyranny in America. And unless Christians, unless freedom-loving people are willing to stand up and fight a little bit for their freedoms, we're going to continue to lose our freedoms, I think, Dave, in the years to come. The bottom line is red-blooded American freedom-loving folks who really appreciate freedoms and are willing to fight for it need to come out and start fighting for freedom instead of making a lot of cheap excuses for why they should not be voting or why they should not be running for government or why they should not be standing for the principles of God's word against the powers of darkness and the powers of tyranny that continue to fight fairly aggressively on their side. Dave, I mean, it seems to me that Christians really need to come to the battlefront and engage. I mean, it seems to me that 30, 40 million Americans, 3 to 4 million homeschoolers in America ought to engage the battle as best as they possibly can. This is not the time to give up. We need to get behind HSLDA and encourage HSLDA and what they're doing. Write a check to HSLDA if necessary, but do whatever you can to engage the battle at every single front possible.
Right. The way you have to oppose a bully is you have to stand up to the bully. And right now, bullying is happening from this administration against everybody the administration hasn't been able to co-opt. And right now, homeschoolers are getting in the crosshairs of this administration. So we better stand together. As it said, you either hang together or you hang separately.
And if you do get elected and you fight, you fight for every single inch you can get. Stop playing the Washington Generals, which is what the Republicans do. Every time the Republicans get a little power, they wimp out. They have no courage. They have no faith. They have no willingness to actually win the battle. There's no real motivation to put their lives on the line for the sake of freedom and liberty. They don't want to shed their blood. They better want to get out there and shed some blood if they're going to be halfway decent leaders for the cause of liberty and freedom. Dave, I think the big problem is when conservatives and Christians finally do get elected, they get wooed into the vision for whatever the socialist agenda is, and they compromise away any opportunity they ever had to accomplish anything decent for the cause of liberty and freedom. And well, friends, in just a moment, we're going to talk about what's happening in Minnesota. In fact, Dave, why don't we bring this out right now? Minnesota has just approved same-sex marriage. This makes the 12th state to adopt the Neuronic Agenda. Everybody remember that this is all about Nero, and these liberal states, the state of Washington, Iowa, Minnesota, and the Northeastern Seaboard, most of New England, has pretty much adopted the Neuronic Agenda. Remember, these are the pro-Nero states, those states that are worshiping at the idol of Nero, the worst emperor that ever lived in the Roman Empire and actually tried to destroy Rome. Also was the man who tried to marry some young men, and he was the first man, as far as we know, in recorded history. First man in civilization, recorded history, that did his best to try to engage homosexual marriage. And so these people that are pro-Nero are all over the place, and Minnesota evidently is filled with people who are pro-Nero and appreciate Nero and would do everything they possibly can to burn Christians at the stake and destroy the nation, the empire. This, my friends, is the direction being set by many, many states around America. Of course, Colorado endorsed civil unions this year for the first time. Minnesota just last week. Dave, I think it's happening about every 2 weeks. We're coming out with a new state that is doing its best to bring about the destruction of civilization and the undermining of the major empires and the nations. So, friends, this is where it's happening. The 12th state to endorse the Neuronic Agenda is Minnesota, approving same-sex marriage just last week, which with a vote of 75 to 59 in their House of Representatives and by a vote of 37 to 30 in the state Senate. And it's going on to Governor Mark Dayton, who has indicated he will sign the bill Tuesday evening. Dayton is heir to the Dayton's department store Fortune, now known as Target Corporation, and Target, of course, being the store that has been pretty much enthusiastically endorsing things like homosexual marriage. I personally don't like to shop at Target very much because of their reputation of backing the destruction of civilization and social systems by way of supporting homosexuality. Okay.
Right. I'm not sure that's an ethical choice for many of these companies. It may be for Target. It may be for some. But right now it's a political reality that if you don't support the right things, you got an IRS coming.
Yeah. IRS is coming after you. They're going to do some audits.
And I understand now the EPA is also targeting conservatives. So,
Yeah. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I know this is bad news, but not really. This is, of course, what the world is doing. We're not doing this. We will preserve our families. And by the way, homosexuals don't have kids. And the only way they can do any kind of multiplication is by getting control of the public schools and Christians who send their kids to nice little public schools with GLSE and signs hanging out in the cafeteria. That's the only way they're going to be successful, if Christians will kowtow to the public schools and send their kids to the public schools. That's the only way we're going to see this agenda survive for at least the next 20 to 30 years until the entire society burns out sexually and does not reproduce. All right. But the rest of us are gaining a vision for what? Biblical dominion, a vision for biblical sexuality, a vision for biblical families. And hey, they're going to die out. We're not. By the year 2100, this thing's going to be over. Friends, these kinds of things don't last very long. Come on, come on, come on. They don't last very long. Yeah, the gods of the marketplace come in, but eventually the gods of copybook headings with terror and slaughter return. Happens all the time. And we're not afraid of what's going to happen in the future. These people are committing suicide. This is called social suicide. That's what happens when Minnesota approves same-sex marriage. It's just cultural suicide, and if they want to put a gun to their heads and pull the trigger, so be it. We'd like to prevent it if we can. We tell them not to do it, but if they insist on doing it, oh well. I guess they're just going to have to do it. And but the rest of us, we're not doing this kind of thing. We're opting out. We're not going to engage. We're not going to adopt. We're not going to endorse. We're going to continue to warn them not to do this kind of thing, and we're going to sit at the sidelines and watch society self-destruct while we are creating our own societies and creating our own civilizations. And that, my friends, is the agenda of this radio program. Be back in just a moment. We are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And ladies and gentlemen, things are changing across this country big time. And it's not just the fact that we are losing the moral battle and we're seeing our social foundations eroded all around us. It's also the fact that we are seeing that our present socioeconomic system is not going to sustain. And things are changing dramatically, and I think this is opening up opportunities for us. Anytime the world is falling apart around us, the Christian approach can introduce a redemptive aspect to it. And that's why the family economics vision has been so important to this day. And that's why we are as positive as we are. Yes, we're optimistic about what's going on because we believe that we have a redemptive plan for the breakdown of society around us. Anytime you have society self-destructing and you have economic systems that can't sustain themselves, we get back to the dominion principles of God's word, and we find that the Bible has solutions in which we can rebuild some of these systems. Dave, here's an article that came out just a day or two ago. We've talked about the college bubble. It's finally bursting. According to this article, this from the Wall Street Journal, the college bubble is finally bursting. It's done. It's over. Apparently, they've been waiting for this for a couple of years. We've been talking about it now for 4 to 5 years, the college bubble, of course, being the fact that you have college costs that have increased past the CPI at about 3 times the CPI since 1978. And Dave, you see this graph right here gives us a pretty good idea. It has pretty much increased at double the rate of the medical care and triple the rate of the CPI. Medical care has increased pretty substantially over the CPI in America since the 1970s. But you see this middle curve is the medical curve, but this exponential curve way above everything else is the college tuition. The average college tuition in America since 1978 has increased roughly 7.45% per year, which is about triple the CPI. I mean, that's unbelievable. And we've been talking about this for a long time. Over 50% of kids who have been graduating from these colleges since 2011 are not employed in their field, or they're just plain old-fashioned unemployed. And the problem is not getting any better. 2013, we just read some headlines, I think a couple of days ago, indicating that things are as bad as ever for college graduates in 2013. The job market is just bad, bad, bad. And after spending $147,000 of dad's money or college debt in order to make it happen, I'd say that's the biggest ripoff that anybody has ever experienced. Plus, the millennial generation is doing far worse financially than any previous generation before them. And they're spending all this money in college, and college is not yielding as much as it used to. And college is way, way, way more expensive than it used to be as compared to the consumer price index. With all of that put together, friends, this appears to be the time in which the college bubble is bursting. This article says,
look at the bright side, Kevin. You can get yourself 4 years, you can find out there's no job. You can go back and get yourself an advanced graduate degree, and then you can graduate, and you can like have $250,000 in debt, and that debt is held by the government now, not by private banks. So you can't even declare bankruptcy and get rid of it. So you're enslaved and indebted to the state now for basically the rest of your life.
At the Family Economics Conference, I challenged young men to get a job at Subway at 15 years of age if they worked for 20 hours a week, just 20 hours a week out of the 96 waking hours, 20 hours a week over 10 years out of the 96 waking hours in any given week. If they worked 20 hours a week over a period of 10 years, they would pay off a house, Dave. They would pay off their house. Working at Subway for $10 an hour over 10 years, they would pay off a house in 10 years. They'd be debt-free at 25 years of age and not in debt to the tune of $267,000 for some lousy college degree. Now, of course, my assumption is they'd be taking their 20 hours of entertainment time, of computer game time, and working Subway. Meantime, the other 76 hours, they'd be working, you know, another project that would yield them even more in terms of their academic and economic development. All right, now, the college bubble is finally bursting. Hallelujah. This is what we're waiting for. And why? Because, well, number of reasons. College is not a biblical form of education. Now, I bring out that point in my book, Apostate, that's just come out. And, of course, Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. The world, the college system of education does not incorporate the biblical principles of education. And because of that, it is guaranteed to create a population that will become increasingly liberal, number one. Number two, they do not fear God because, for the most part, college is not teaching children to worship, first and foremost, but teaching them how to, I don't know what, to get a bunch of facts stuffed in their minds. And college is not very life integrated. The idea of life integration, hardly an issue in a humanist form of epistemology. There are reasons why college is bound to fail. And of course, the fact that college has led the liberalization of the Western world, and college and the universities are always, always, always more liberal than the other segment of society. College has, from the point of Harvard, Oxford, Cambridge, you go all the way back to the 1200s and Thomas Aquinas, college has done what it can to secularize society, and it has done it for 800 years and is about time to put an RIP sign on college. Okay, here's the article, Dave. Private colleges are offering record financial assistance to keep classrooms full. Some schools are seeing just 20% of students they accepted enrolling versus the usual rate of 33%. So they're not attending. People just aren't saying it, not attending. These schools have raised tuition discount rate, the price after grants and scholarships, an all-time high of 45%. Meanwhile, the median sticker price increased just 3.9% last fall, the smallest gain in 12 years. And at public schools, the sticker price climbed 4.8%, also a 12-year low, which, by the way, is still above the CPI. They're still growing above the CPI. College costs still above the CPI. If the increases have decreased ever so slightly, they say, but they're still above the CPI, substantially above the CPI. Okay? So, ladies and gentlemen, college is a stinking ripoff, and thankfully a few are figuring that out.
Well, think of how important college can be, though, for your career. I mean, think about all the great men who went to college and built empires, like Bill Gates.
No, he didn't graduate from college.
He did.
Ray Kroc. How about Ray Kroc? Oh, wait. McDonald's founder? He didn't go to college either. What about Henry Ford? Oh, he didn't graduate from college either. Okay, yeah. Just about every billionaire you can mention never graduated from college. But, ladies and gentlemen, the college bubble is finally bursting, and good riddance, I say. Good riddance. It's time for college the bubble to, and Dave, I would encourage college professors to resign. For the most part, I'd say college professors ought to resign. I think college professors ought to do something else with their time. They ought to develop discipleship, mentorship. They ought to get out in the marketplace, make themselves a little more useful, and then develop mentorships and show others how to do what they're doing. Friends, this idea of pulling people out of the marketplace, putting them on the island of college and university, where they're supposed to be talking about real life and they don't know anything about real life because they're on this island of education that has nothing to do with real life, that, my friends, is not a good form of educating and preparing a young man or a young woman for life. We need to develop mentorships, and we need tens of thousands of mentorships. And friends, every time we've talked about mentorship on this program, every time we've used an example of it, we've found that these examples produce incredible fruits, and we encourage mentorships. It's time to develop a paradigm shift in the area of preparing for life and for our careers. And we've been advocating the idea of mentorship for a very, very long time, And it's growing. It's growing, but slowly. Very few people will wean themselves from a dying system. Very few people will grab onto a life raft and say, forget about the big universities and colleges. We're going to do things a little differently. Not a lot of people. I mean, I'd say it's barely 1% of those people who listen to this radio program will actually take the leap and say, hey, we're going to do mentorships. We're going to encourage mentorships. And we're going to move more towards a mentorship model in preparing young men and young women for life. And yet there are some who are doing it, Dave, and we're seeing it grow. But it's growing very, very slowly. This is like getting a 747 off the ground. It takes a long runway to make that happen. Now, here's the good news. The good news is our Family Economics Conference did very well this year. Dave, 2,100 people attended, and I was over 4 to 5 days. It was the longest conference we ever did. I've never been to a conference this long. And it was out of the park, unbelievable. The speakers did, I think, a better job at pulling together the material, and Dave, I think more unity and more of a self-consciousness and a clarity concerning this vision than I have ever seen before in the family economics movement in the modern age. Now, granted, we're trying to bring something back that existed for 5,900 years until the capitalists and communists took over and developed the large corporations and developed a lot of government-regulated systems over the last 100 years. That has pretty much destroyed the family farm and family businesses and the family economy, and it's been a weird experiment, but it's not lasting very much longer. And so it's good that, Dave, we have so many people coming out of the woodwork and saying, we're not trusting the system anymore. We're going to go back to the 5,900-year experiment, God's system of family economies, and we're going to build these things up from the bottom up. And, Dave, it's happening. And here's a lot of interesting data. Dave, we surveyed the families that are doing this. We have almost, by far, a large majority of the people attending the conference had already established their family businesses, their family economies, and they were doing very, very well. Thank you very much. The average income, according to our audience response units, we did an opportunity for all the audience to respond, and we asked questions, what's your family income, et cetera, et cetera. And as it turns out, Dave, the average income of this group was well above the national average. God is blessing these people unbelievably. And again, this is just one blessing. We're not saying it's the only blessing, but God is blessing these people with tremendous income. And of course, the debt-free folks, those mortgage-free, far, far, far above the national average, 33%, Dave, of our audience have paid off their houses. So again, these people are on track. They've got the vision. They understand the biblical vision of economics. They are shaking themselves free of debt. And Dave, I would say within the next 5 to 6 years, we're going to see 51% of our group, of this group, going to be debt-free in their homes, mortgage-free, and they will be have established a very, very healthy family economies that will be healthy for multi-generations to come. So, Dave, I'm thrilled. And here's the statistic that shocked my socks off while we were doing the audience response units. In fact, I didn't know what to say. I couldn't hardly speak. When this statistic came out, I could not believe it. Dave, 60% of the young men. Now, we asked the young men to answer the question. The young men, the oldest sons that had attended these conferences, 60% of them were engaging entrepreneurial ventures, and they were planning the entrepreneurial track. Now again, I'm not saying the college corporate track is unacceptable and that's not a calling and approach that some ought to take, but 60% of our audience of 2,100 people in this conference, 60% of the young men, Dave, were planning on an entrepreneurial approach. And I did the entrepreneurial panel, the young entrepreneur panel. Boy, you talk about an amazing bunch of boys. I think I interviewed 25 young men, Dave, in this. It was packed out all the way to the walls, had probably 750 to 800 people in this room for this young entrepreneurs panel. It was unbelievably encouraging, Dave, to see these young men not playing computer games. No way, no way, no way. They were engaged. They were building businesses, and the entire room was just vibrating with creativity and motivation and innovation. And you know, I mean, I don't think I've been more encouraged in my entire life to be in the midst of all these young men who were engaging their own economies and building their own entrepreneurial ventures and getting ready to get married and live happily ever after in a family economy. I mean, the vision is kicking in.
You know, 10 years ago when we were kicking around ideas, words like family and economics weren't joined together. You'd say family economics and people would look at you like you were speaking a different language or you're from Mars or something. And we've tried to recover both concepts, family, you know, a household. You know, let's do things as a household. Let's see the household as a unit for God's glory. Let's stop thinking in terms of individuals so much and start thinking about how it wasn't good for man to be alone. So God created families. And then we expanded it to, and God gave families a job. He called it Dominion. Go take Dominion. That's really what economics is. And so we have now is the ball's getting rolling. People are stopped thinking about how will I amass a fortune of wealth on earth? And rather, how can I form a family and take dominion? How can we do that with solidarity? How can I give a vision to my children and leave an inheritance to my children's children? You know, things like they say in the Bible. And rather than finding this college pathway that is supposed to be the fast track to wealth and materialism, it turns out it was a very efficient process, but it was an efficient failure.
Yeah.
You know, there's something bad about a process that efficiently fails. The process of discipleship is very inefficient. It just happens to work.
Well, Dave, I think this is what it's going to take to restore a socioeconomic system. Our social systems are breaking down. Our economic systems are breaking down. We need to get back to a biblical standard of building godly families, strong family economies in the years to come. And Dave, I ended the entire conference on we have got to decentralize control of medicine and food. If we don't engage medical care and food in the hands of family economies, if we do not decentralize food and medical care, elderly care, prenatal care, and the birth of our children, if that's in the hands of the bureaucrats, the unholy alliance of the socialist state and big food, big corporate medicine, it will be a disaster, friends, in the years to come. If we do not wean ourselves from the status system, Obamacare, and the big government-controlled food system, if we do not wean ourselves from these systems, these Babel systems of centralized control of medicine and food, which, by the way, are the most important aspects of the economy for the bare survival of our future Christian families, if we do not decentralize food and medical care, we will be in big, big trouble in the years to come. We absolutely need to get behind the midwifery program that Generations with Vision is sponsoring right now, a Christian midwifery training program. I think it's the first on-site program in the nation from a Christian perspective. We don't get behind the midwifery thing, if we don't get behind elderly care, if we don't build family economies around medical care and, of course, food and agriculture, if that doesn't happen, it will be family economies or bust. As far as I'm concerned, by the year 2040, 2050, 2060, if we do not do this, it will be a disaster for our future families, for our grandkids and for our great grandkids. If we love our neighbor, if we don't like euthanasia, if we don't like infanticide for kids conceived with Down syndrome, if we don't like big food and everything that big food means, if governments control these sorts of things and centralize everything under the Babel principle, friends, we will see the destruction of these things in the years to come. Now is the time to build these family economies. We don't put this off anymore. Now is the time. Now is the time to rebuild family economies, decentralized systems in many of these areas. Now is the time to rebuild family economies in the 21st century. The time is now, and it is busting out. We have another conference coming in Seattle, Washington area in just another couple of months. I think it's coming up in October of this year. And next year, Dave, we have 6 or 7 conferences planned. We had about 150 people from the conference crammed into a room on Saturday afternoon discussing how we were going to build the family economic system into America in the 21st century. And we have at least 7 states in which this is going to happen. We have leaders already established in these communities. We are going to build the family economic system in America because, friends, it is build family economics or bust. We have no two ways about it, no options, no alternatives. We will build family economics in the 21st century. So if you're interested in this sort of thing, you need to show up at one of these conferences or just email us at host@kevinswanson.com and say, I'm behind the family economic system. Tell us how to bring a conference to our neck of the woods, whether it be in Canada, America, or anywhere else. You let us know if you're interested in putting a conference in your state. We are building the family economics program in the 21st century. And Dave, I could not be more excited.
Well, it's exciting because we're returning to the teachings of the Bible. What is a nation do when the foundations are destroyed? What does the people of God do? Well, they go back to the foundations. They go back to the blueprints, and they rebuild the foundations according to the blueprints. That's what we're trying to do, Kevin. We're just trying to take the Bible out and say, this is how God tells us to live life. He tells us to live as families. He tells us as families take dominion, as to worship him, to do all for his glory. We're just going back to the book, to the blueprints, and rebuilding, starting with ourselves, and our families and our churches and working up from there, rebuilding the foundations, because the ones that we're on, they're crumbling.
And I know these are radical solutions to the radical problems we're facing, friends, but while the world is crumbling around us and they're doing their homosexual marriage thing up in Minnesota, we are rebuilding the family in the 21st century. And if you're interested in this project, please let us know. And if you're interested in supporting what we're doing on this radio program and you'd like to be one of the 100 sponsors that gets behind our program and says, hey, we support what you're doing. Not a whole lot of competition out there that's saying what you're saying, but we would really like to see the family reestablished in the 21st century. We actually believe in the concrete that you're laying in the foundations, and we would like to get behind this project, and we'd like to encourage you in what you're doing with the Generations Radio broadcast. Please sponsor our program and do so by going to Generations with Vision and click on Donate Today. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.